will notice this morning that the hymn we just sang and the one that comes after the sermon are both set to the same tune. And in general, not just when this happens, but every Sunday we have this construction here, this liturgical way of organizing our service in which hymns bookend the service at the start and at the beginning, at start and at the end, and they also go around the sermon. You may have never thought about this, but in church circles there's a name for this. It's called a hymn sandwich. Not to be confused with other kinds of sandwiches. You know, the hymns are like the bread, and what goes in between them is like the filling. And hopefully, I think of all those chef shows on TV. Tell us about what you prepared for us today. But hopefully, these sandwiches come together and create a flavor profile that's tasty and nourishing. You know, not like some sandwiches you eat that are dry and hard to swallow. Okay, that's all I'll try with that. So, the hymn we just sang celebrates our earth coming back to life in spring. And the one we're about to sing asserts the faith claim that Christians make on Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And on the surface, these two could seem kind of far apart. We get to witness the return of spring every year. We see it unfolding with our own eyes. We get to feel the warmth and smell the flowers and dig our fingers into the earth. But the story of the empty tomb and the 2,000-year claim that he is risen is for some of us more removed from our daily lived experience. And that can be challenging for some of us here in the 21st century. And I don't know about you, but I really need Easter this year. It's been a hard winter. And I'm not talking about the weather or about any particular personal events for me. It's just I've been discouraged over these last months by the fear and the divisions and the meanness in our country, to say nothing of all the trouble in our world. I find myself wondering if we as a church are going to be up to the challenges of these days. Will we be able to do our part to help? Lately, I find there's a lot to worry about. Anybody else feel this way too? And here comes Easter, with its claim that death is not the end of the story. A few minutes ago, we heard that last chapter from Mark's gospel. Three women come to the tomb where their friend and teacher has been buried. And it looks like somebody has disturbed the grave. The stone has been rolled away and the body is gone. And this guy who's wearing white tells them, "He's not here, but don't be alarmed. He's been raised." And the story ends with the women being very alarmed, running away, the gospel says, amazed and afraid. And that's the end of the story, supposedly. I love that Mark's gospel leaves it up to us to provide the ending, to finish the story. The invitation is to enter into this mystery, to live out the ending with these lives that we have been given. I'll remind you of what the Bible scholar John Dominic Crossan teaches about these old stories. He says, "My point is not that those ancient people told literal stories, and we are now smart enough to take them symbolically. No, Crossan says, my point is that those people told those stories symbolically, and we are now dumb enough to take them literally. The empty tomb is a symbol that we are invited to reflect upon and imagine what it might mean for us in our particular lives. I'll remind you that in his ministry, Jesus was all about helping and empowering people. He told them, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Remember what he said to that poor invalid who was sitting by the pool hoping to be healed? Pick up your mat and walk. He wasn't going to do it by magic. He was saying, you got to take care of your own healing here too. My spiritual director likes to say, Jesus gave us this mystery, and what we ended up with was the church. Over the centuries, the church has placed layer and layer of doctrine and interpretation over top of the gospel stories. And under the banner of this simple Hebrew prophet, the church has too often been the agent of empire and oppression. And still at its core, there is this teacher and healer who said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I've come to appreciate how the Eastern side of Christianity takes a more mystical and more creative and less legalistic view than the Roman Church does. One example of this is the Armenian Orthodox theologian Vigen Gogorian, who says he experiences Easter as a call to one's senses. A professor of religious studies in Virginia, he sees the gardening that he does as a way of doing theology. Getting the garden ready in early spring is for him a Lenten practice. He says, I'm attuning my body, I'm cleansing my soul, I'm making myself ready to receive the gift. And thinking about the resurrection, he tells this story. He says, several summers ago, my children found two turtles, and they put them in our vegetable garden. During a thaw the following February, as I was digging up the soggy soil where the peas were going to go, I lifted a heavy mound with my shovel and then another. The two turtles had burrowed down for a winter sleep, and I had rudely awakened them too soon. So I carried them to a corner of the garden where I would not disturb them, and I dug them in again. When my wife said that she was fearful that the turtles might be dead, I said I did not think so, though I wasn't as sure as I sounded. I insisted that in spring they would come up, and they did in Easter week. He concludes, lilies and hyacinths signify the resurrection, and I can understand why, but I have a pair of turtles that plant themselves in my garden each fall like two gigantic seeds and rise on Easter with earthen crowns upon their humbled heads, with the women at the tomb I marvel. If you're going to be a religious person these days, it helps, I think, to have the sensibility of an artist. It helps to know how to turn down that skeptical voice so many of us have in our brains, so you can be open to the mystery, to that creative force that is moving and at work in our world, that wants to move through you, through your brush or pen or voice. And that's what's needed, I think, to enter into the mystery of the resurrection. To wonder, how might this story be at work in me? And isn't that what E.E. Cummings is doing in the poem we heard this morning? I thank you, God, for most this amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. I who have died am alive again today. And this is the sun's birthday. This is the birthday of life and love and wings and of the great, of the gay, great happening, illimitably earth. How should tasting, touching, hearing, seeing, breathing, any lifted from the know of all nothing, human merely being, doubt unimaginable you. Now the ears of my ears awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened. I who have died am alive today. Isn't that the Easter story? And don't you need some of that? It baffles me still that some people think that being religious means blindly following rules and assuming that religious truth is something that never changes. 100 years ago, John Burroughs put it this way: the forms and creeds of religion change, but the sentiment of religion, the wonder and reverence and love we feel in the presence of the inscrutable universe persists. Too often folks get hung up on the forms when what matters is the wonder and reverence and love that religion is meant to evoke. In the church that I grew up in, people would bring flowers to church on Easter. Handfuls of daffodils and tulips and pansies and roses. And the church had this wooden frame in the shape of a cross, probably a foot or more wide, 6 or 7 feet high, made out of wood and covered with chicken wire. And at a certain point in the service, we would all bring our flowers forward. It would be right here. And an acolyte, that's what we called altar boys, and they were all boys back then, they got girls later, wearing white gloves, I'm not sure why, would take those little bundles of flowers out of our hands and carefully put them through the holes in the chicken wire. And this ugly wooden and wire cross would turn into this beautiful tapestry of many colors and textures. And after the service, it would go outside, right out front, where people passing by could enjoy it too. Isn't this flowering cross a nice intersection of these two threads running through our hymn sandwich today? Lo, the earth awakes again. And Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. The invitation is to see these two as overlapping realities, not as an either or. Holding on to the mystery and the earthiness of the resurrection, that's what we're invited into. And we have people who can help us with that, like our friends in the eastern part of the Christian church. The trouble I see in much of the western side is that the church is still stuck on the cross. The fact is, our lives do include pain and suffering and brokenness, and we do live in a world of oppression and injustice. And so the cross and the crucifixion, they can be a helpful symbol of this reality. But the invitation of Easter is to come down from the cross, not to be stuck there, not to glorify the cross or celebrate violence or sacrifice. No, Easter says we aren't meant to be walled up in a tomb, whether that is a tomb of fear or addiction or isolation or abuse. Jesus knew that he and his followers were going to suffer. He was plain about that, but he never said that was the goal. No, he said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. There's a hymn we sang every Sunday on Easter when I was a kid. The first line, which is also the refrain, goes like this. Welcome, happy morning, age to age shall say. And isn't this the call of Easter? To look out on our lives and on the world and say, welcome, happy morning. To orient ourselves toward light and life and love and wings. To see that we are part, a beloved part of this good earth, and that we are also companioned by so great a cloud of witnesses. People who in every age have worked to live good and helpful and faithful lives, choosing hope over fear, affirming life. I have no interest in, like some churches do, reenacting the crucifixion. I have no interest in glorifying capital punishment. No. I want to be like vegan Gregorian, digging in the garden, clearing out what is dead, putting it in the compost, looking for signs of life. Seeing signs of the resurrection in the greening grass and in sprouts that push up out of the earth. And looking for signs of the resurrection in our midst, in your lives and in mine. As someone who can tend towards being a worrier, my practice in this Easter season is going to be waking up every day and saying out loud, welcome, happy morning. And I trust that this is going to change me, this affirmation, welcoming the day with gladness, seeking the risen Christ in everyday miracles, like goldfinches gradually turning yellow again, and in people like you, loving one another, serving those in need, building the common good, renewing the face of the earth. My spiritual companions, let us live into the invitation of Easter. Let us practice resurrection where it counts, in our lives, on this good earth. Amen.